Good day.
Good morning.
Hello. I've completely ruined this intro already. I'm Joe. Oh, I'm not Joey. I'm Tim. Oh, this one is. It's still staying in, isn't it?
Oh yeah, of course it is. This is like two blokes from Blighty does main show.
Oh, Joey, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Just as a kind of peek behind the curtain, as is our saying, we've just recorded an episode with Alex that won't be the next one that we do. It'll be the one after, which I'm really looking forward to going out because I thought it was a really good episode. It was good.
Whereas this one might be one of our shortest ones, if not the shortest.
Yeah, this is it. Just stopping the recording now.
Yep, here's your 1 minute episode, everyone.
Here's your 1 minute episode where Tim forgot his own name.
No one is. I'm struggling today.
Why are you struggling, Tim?
Oh, I'm just tired. I've been working all weekend.
Diddums. Are you off tomorrow?
No.
Tuesday?
I'm on early tomorrow.
Tuesday?
Tuesday I'm off, but I'm spending a lot of Tuesday practicing Tekken.
You make it sound like that's a job.
Well, for some people it is, but I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast yet. I signed up to Europe's largest major tournament again this year.
Nice.
As usual, I'm competing in Guilty Gear, but for the first time, I'm competing in any Tekken tournament. So I'm going into Europe's largest major as a complete Tekken beginner, and seeing where it goes.
How many people compete in this tournament?
If I pull up the numbers from last year, let me quickly double check. There's going to be versus fighting 12, I think, was last year.
Because I remember you were quite disheartened after last year because you didn't place particularly where you wanted to, right?
No, so the first year I went, I placed 49th out of 150.
Which is really good.
That's really good. And then the year after, out of about 200 odd people, I placed 96th.
Which is still good. But I remember you being quite.
I was super disheartened. Disheartened.
I remember you saying, "If ever I sign up for this tournament again, I'll give Joey £1,000."
I don't quite know where you're getting these contracts from. I need to fire my agent.
I'm your agent.
Wait a minute.
As your agent, you definitely did say that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this website's taking forever to load. So Tekken 7, which was the most recent game at the time of last year's tournament, had 290 entrants.
Are you expecting the same for this?
If not more.
Well, Tekken 8's fairly recently out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out this year, like out in 2024. I'm excited. I'm excited to play Cat Grabman in tournament.
For those of you who don't know, the character is actually called King, but he's a big leopard that Tim grabs and throws people with.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Hence, Cat Grabman.
Yeah, sometimes he dresses up as a cowboy and then he becomes Cowboy Grab Catman.
And are you still Joey at that point?
What?
You introduced yourself as Joey. It was the other time you tripped up over your words.
Oh, yeah.
And where is Versus?
It's in Birmingham. It's every year it's in Birmingham. It's back at Millennium Point. So if this episode... I'm sure this episode's going to be out by the time that happens.
When is it?
August.
Oh, it'll be well out by August.
Yeah, well, if anyone happens to be in Birmingham and at Versus Fighting... I'll be there competing in Guilty Gear and Tekken 8.
And if Tim places in the top 200, he's going to run around without any trousers on.
Without no trousers on.
Without no trousers. That would mean he just runs around with trousers.
Yeah. I'm accompanied by trowel.
I heard you're going to wear your Two Blokes from Blighty shirt that says at Wembembo on everything.
I mean, that might go on there. There's no logo, it just says at Wembembo on the front.
With an arrow pointing upwards to you.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy.
That on my David Attenborough shirt, which I don't know if you've seen or not.
I don't think I have seen.
So, you know my Ian Beale crying shirt?
Yeah.
It's in a similar style to that, but there's several David Attenboroughs, and it just says David Attenborough.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because you are a diehard David Attenborough fan.
Man's a treasure.
Speaking of diehard fans, I do want to talk about your shirt now, Tim.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing a Villa shirt.
Tim, when was the last time you watched a football match?
Never.
How long have you been a lifelong Villa fan?
Minus 32 years.
Minus, so that would mean in 32 years' time you'll become a diehard Villa fan.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm 63.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. I mean, Joey got me this shirt a long time ago.
It, 2 years.
It really accentuates my tits. and it's comfortable.
I think it looks good on you. I think it suits you.
That's all right. Yeah, it's comfortable.
And you wear it when Villa play.
Yeah, so they can look at my tits and play better.
Hold on, has the logo on the right side, the legs come off one of the sides?
No.
On the actual shirt?
No.
Yeah, it has. Look.
Oh, yeah, no, it has. You're right.
Yeah. Kappa. That's the brand that make the shirt. They make.
Yeah, he's not doing the Twitch emote.
They do famously poor quality shirts. So.
Brilliant.
We're not with them anymore, Tim.
Ah.
I say we. Because you are a diehard Villa fan.
So it seems. You could tell by my uniform.
Exactly. You are one of the army.
Yeah.
Not the Villa army, just the military. Thank you for your service, Tim.
I'm in the RAF. You saw that video of that guy. And he's like, the video's called something like, join the RAF, they said. It'll be fun, they said. And it's just him in a cabin in bed. And he's like filming because like you can hear a jet engine like ramping up. And like his whole cabin starts shaking. He goes, down the whole cabin tips over. It's like, <"F->
no, I haven't seen that. I would like.
I need to send you that. Brilliant.
Please do. Should we get into the episode?
Yeah, go on then. This episode is going to contain.
What are you doing? This is my episode.
You told me to lead off on it.
I said I'll do the spoiler warning, boyo.
Boyo.
All right, boyo. This episode of the Game Club podcast contains spoilers for I'm on observation duty. It does.
If there's any to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, normally we use the game music to lead in.
Yeah.
Have you heard the game music for this?
I don't remember it.
It's awful.
You've got to leave it in then.
Yeah, I will do, but it's absolutely horrendous. Enjoy this, listener. Welcome back to the Game Club podcast. I am Joe Fitzgerald. I'm joined by the incontinent. I know we had that in a future episode. No, you can be the irresistible Tim Fitzgerald. Tim, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling sultry.
Sultry. Ooh, very sultry. Tim, we're here to talk about a game called I'm on Observation Duty. But before we get into that, I want to hear about what you think is the scariest game you've ever played.
Scariest game I've ever played. I mean, Silent Hill 2 is up there.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere
in
that.
Are you going to get the remake when it comes out?
Probably.
For your waste of money machine or the Steam library when it comes out?
Probably going to be for PS5. I'm going to want to play in 4K.
Okay. Can you not play it on 4K on Steam?
No, I can, but I don't have a 4K monitor.
Just plug your PC into your TV.
You have no idea how much of a task that is.
Use Steam Play. What is it called? Steam Link.
Steam Link. I did have a Steam, like a physical Steam Link at one point, and then I got rid of it because it was bad.
But can you not get an app on your telly?
Not on that TV, no. Oh,
but it's 4K.
It is 4K. Mm. That's good.
I was going to try and come up with 4Ks that said how stupid your telly was, but I'm not intelligent enough to do that.
Intelligent.
Well done. I am not intelligent. That's what they should have called smart TVs.
Intelligent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your talents are wasted on this little podcast, Tim.
I need to be in marketing.
Intelligent. I like it. Sorry, Tim. Please carry on.
Yeah, scariest something will do, probably.
Any moments? Because I don't actually remember Silent Hill 2 being scary. I remember it being creepy.
Well, there's the time where, you know, when you're looking through that crack in the wall into that person's room, and there's like a doll on the bed, like a bunny doll, and then you look one more time as the person's leaving the room and the doll is just looking at you.
Yeah.
You're right up.
Gave you the poopers.
Game outside of the regular ones, yes.
Good.
Yeah. What about you?
I think PT might be the scariest game I've ever played.
Yeah.
And it's not even a full game.
No, it was a sort of a playable teaser.
So for those of you who don't know, it was actually a playable teaser trailer, essentially, for an unreleased Silent Hills game. Which, how good would that game have been?
Well, you know, it was Kojima.
Yeah.
Behind it, and Guillermo del Toro.
I was going to say I really like both of their work, but some of Kojima's work I like. The rest of it, he's a bit like that director we spoke about in Two Blokes from Blighty, where he goes, how can I make this weird?
Oh, Yorgo Lathinos.
Yorgo having a laugh because this is
I'm just looking for now. There's a really, really good video about PT and its meanings, because obviously that game was analyzed to hell and back.
Yeah.
Because it's a Kojima game, of course it is. But someone came to the conclusion that PT was about Kojima's breakdown relationships with Konami, as opposed to Silent Hill. And it was actually like, it wasn't just like someone, you know, pulling harebrained conspiracy theories. Here we are. It's by someone called The Great Debate. PT's Hidden Meaning is the name of the video. It's a half an hour long essay about why PT is about Kojima's breakdown in relations at Konami.
I will definitely watch that after we've done recording today.
It's very interesting.
But PT was great because there was nothing really about it anywhere, and it released as a free download when I had a PlayStation 4. And it's essentially a loop of a corridor, and you go round and round and round and round and round, and each time you go round, something different happens. And My God, the things that happen. I'm not going to spoil it. You can't get it anymore. It got removed from the PlayStation store.
No, and people were selling their PlayStations with it on.
Do you remember? And they were going for like hundreds more than brand new PlayStations. It's like, do you remember when Flappy Bird was
removed? Thing,
and people were selling iPhones with Flappy Bird on for like £700.
Yeah.
A wild time, let's just say. But if you haven't ever seen PT, Google it if you're into horror stuff, because my God, it's something else. It's
very, very creative, and it's one of these things with layers and layers and layers.
It's an onion. It is Shrek.
It's Shrek and a parfait.
It is a parfait. So, Tim, moving on to I'm on observation duty.
Yeah, let's get on to I'm on observation duty.
So, I'm on observation duty was released. Tim, guess which year this was released?
2020.
Well, there's six of them, I should tell you that.
Yep, I'm still going 2020.
Oh, okay, December 14th, 2018.
Oh, I was thinking 2018 before.
It was developed by Notovia. It's available on Windows, Linux, iOS, and Mac. It has received extremely favorable reviews on Steam. When you Google it, it actually says 10 out of 10 on Steam.
Mm.
However, on the Apple Store, it's 3.6 out of 5. And the description for I'm on Observation Duty is it's an anomaly horror game.
That's really funny.
Full disclosure, Tim. I chose this game, put it in the running order. Slade then played it, and I felt bad because this is not the game I meant to put in the running order. I got it confused with another Observation Duty, which is much better than this one.
Yeah, you wanted like number 6 or something, didn't you?
Yes. So, Tim, let's jump in. What are your thoughts on I'm on Observation Duty?
Well, I've got 3 lines of notes, and they're 1 sentence each.
And then we're going to end the episode.
Pretty much. Cool concept. I'm just not very good at this sort of game.
Okay.
I wish there was a bit more to it.
Yeah.
And I wish time was sped up more.
Okay. I think that's fair.
That's it. We'll talk about the concept after Joey's initial thoughts.
Well, we also have Slade's initial thoughts.
Oh, yes, we do.
So Slade sent us his thoughts on this game and the next game we're playing. But he made them redacted, so we couldn't read them until this point. So this is both of our fresh first time hearing what Slade's thoughts on I'm on Observation Duty. Tim, let me know what he thought.
So, Slade's thoughts. Played a few rounds. Sometimes I just get a game over and I never noticed what the change was or what I was supposed to look for. It wants to be Phasmophobia and Five Nights at Freddy's mixed together, but if you want a better version of that combination, go play One Night at Flumpty's. And he's put, no score, don't recommend. I'm not accepting the no score. I'm going to put that down as a 1.
No, because that'll skew it really badly.
But we can't divide by 0 is the problem.
But we can leave his score out of it and it will average our scores.
Okay, fine. If that's the way the spreadsheet works.
Yeah, it does. It does, don't worry. So, I think I agree with both of you. This game, I think it is a cool concept. I don't know if you played any other anomaly horror games, Tim.
No, it's not really in my regular things.
No. So what it is a glorified spot the difference, right? Yeah. And you have a number of cameras around a house, 2 houses. Did you ever beat night 1?
No. I did not beat any of the nights.
So there's only 2 nights.
Okay, well, I didn't beat either of them. I gave both houses a go. I put about a couple of hours into the game.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So there's 2 houses. There's only 1 night. You last from midnight till 6 o'clock. As Tim said, time goes very slowly in this. I think each night lasts around 40 minutes. And in gaming terms, that's quite a long time.
Well, when you're playing Spot the Difference for 40 minutes straight, it becomes a bit arduous.
But you flick through the cameras in the CCTV of this house. And the point that you have to do is you have to spot where things have moved or things were not there before and have appeared or disappeared, or there could be intruders in the house, or a camera's gone, or the camera is inverted upside down. But when you see something weird, you have to report it on the anomaly system tracker. And then the screen flashes up and it says fixing anomalies, and anomalies get fixed. And in each night, you're allowed 4 mistakes. So there is 17 anomalies in the second house and 11 in the first. 11 differences in Spot the Difference in 40 minutes. That's not a great deal of work for you to do.
No.
So I really like the concept of this, and I think they've done I'm on Observation Duty much better later down the line. 6, like I said, is a really good game. I do think that this game, for when it came out, for being the first of a series, does what it wants to do in a way that is sluggish and slow, but you can see that there's a real gem underneath all of the mud.
Yeah, I mean, like, it had a goal and it met the goal, but it wasn't in the most elegant manner.
No. Did you see any of the intruders?
Yeah, I saw a guy masturbating in the shower.
That guy is called Shower Guy.
Ah, okay. I saw a guy down the end of a corridor, and I saw someone waving in a garden.
Yeah, that's it. So there was a few more. Huge guy became a bit of a meme because it was just a really jacked guy.
Yeah,
in the kitchen. But they're fairly. They look a bit. It looks a bit like a Gmod. It could have been made in GeForce.
I think it is built in Source.
Is it?
I think so.
So the assets aren't particularly detailed. They are, it seems like it didn't take very much time to make. But I really do like the concept. I just really don't think the execution is particularly polished.
I get the feeling it's a bit of a student project, the first one. And like maybe they took it further afterwards, which would be fine. Mm. But just the first one feels a bit, I don't know, high school, college project-y.
Yeah. But a good one. A good high
school. Yeah. Like I say, it's a very original idea.
Yeah. Tim, apart from your man masturbating in the shower, what highlights did you have?
I can remember being very paranoid when looking at House 1 in the garden section. There's a window that I never really noticed until my second time around in the bottom right of my screen, and I was always paranoid that something or someone would be there. Mm. That was about it.
I do think that the thing this does very well is it makes you look for the thing that you're basically scared of. Did you get any of the jump scares?
No.
Jump scares are terrible. They're just animated characters shaking very quickly, very close to the screen with your typical scream jump scare.
I'm not going to say I don't like jump scares because, they scare me. I don't like jump scares because they're cheap.
Yeah, no, like, the jump scares in this are really cheap.
But, like, it's just a cheap, like, whoa, wow, that was unexpected. There's no, it doesn't add to atmosphere. And that's why I don't like it in horror games. That's why I don't like it in horror films.
I don't agree. I think there is games where it can add to stuff a lot. Like, Dead Space is a great example of when jump scares are done well.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of atmosphere around the jump scare.
Yes, and that hits the nail on the head. The atmosphere in this, I think there is a good atmosphere. I just think that in games where the whole central focus is the jump scare, you're just expecting something. Mm. And so like, for example, the original Five Nights at Freddy's games, and Slade won't thank me for saying this, but he's not here, so tough. But they're built around waiting for something to jump at the screen and shout boo at you.
Yeah.
And I think I'm on observation duty is slightly different, because depending on what the anomaly that you miss is, it alters your jump scare. Mm. However, it is, at the end of the day, still a pretty cheap jump scare.
Do you know what this game is? And I use this term whenever I see this kind of game, like Five Nights at Freddy's, is it's YouTuber bait.
Absolutely. And I was going to go on to this. So if you search I'm on observation duty, you get all of the typical gamer reaction YouTuber bait YouTubers have done playthroughs of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I watched some of Markiplier's 6.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what the differences were. And 6 looks a lot more sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think I'm on observation duty 2 through 6 could be DLC for 1.
Probably.
However, the main difference is that the user interface is so much cleaner and more responsive. Whereas in this, I missed, I died twice because I couldn't find the thing that I was trying to report in time for it to be reported, because it's a drop down list. And then you scroll through the drop down list and it's not particularly responsive to your scrolling, so it takes ages to get down a very short list.
It's also not alphabetized.
No, which is incredibly annoying. But I don't really know what else to say about it.
I guess the only other thing I'd comment on, just to do with the reporting, is that it's not really clear what category some things fall into.
Yeah.
Like I had one that just looked like a black hole in a living room, and I was like, well, is that an abyss? Is that a ghost? Is that an object that wasn't there before? Is it a distortion? Or
but or it, one of the good things that they did in regards to that, and I think that's probably a common complaint about the game, you're not penalized for incorrectly reporting anomalies. Where I think you're punished for it is that it takes so long to find the thing that you want to report, you then have to go through that process again. And if you get it wrong, you go through it again. And if you get it wrong, you go through it again.
Because when you send off a report, you're unable to do any further reporting for about 30 to 45 seconds, I'd say. Yeah. And all the while, There could be more anomalies building up in the house, and if you have more than four anomalies in the house at any one time, it's game over.
Game over. Yeah, that's the crux of it. I think, actually, when I learned that this was on iOS and on the App Store, it probably lends itself quite well to a touchscreen mobile game.
Yeah, probably.
I did look for it on the Android store, and there was a very, very cheap-looking ripoff, as there always is.
Well, again, there always is when it comes to like these YouTuber bait games.
Yeah, it's
called, look at the amount of FNAF ripoffs.
Yeah, it's called Alternate Duty Anomaly Watch. So,
I'll give that a go.
It has a whopping 1.8 out of 5.
Woof.
So, yeah. Enjoy that when you play it, Tim.
All right, I will. Shall we talk scores?
Scores on the doors, Georgie Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a neat concept. As I said at the beginning, I really like the idea. I'm just not very good at these games. And I wish there was more to it than just click around the same six rooms for 45 minutes. And I wish there was... I wish time went a bit quicker, but I guess that's kind of... I don't want it to be so quick with games that only last like 15 minutes, but equally I don't want staring at the same six rooms for 40 minutes. Yeah. It becomes a little bit tedious. I think 30 would be fine.
It doesn't achieve the balance particularly well, does it? Which I think that is something that they address, and it is met in the later Observation Tree games.
Yeah, I mean, this one was definitely like testing the waters, which is fine.
If you want to laugh, Tim, look up the lore on these games.
Oh, yeah?
Because there is nothing in them that gives any proper lore apart from a secret ending to this game where you get stuck in a room with someone, and when you click them, their face turns upside down and it says, "What did you do to Timothy? Yes or no?" And if you click yes, it ends. And if you click no, it screams and then ends.
Wow.
So, apparently, you did something to Timothy.
Sorry, me. you know, I don't know that I could recommend this one, but I'm sure if I tried one of the later ones in the series, I'd probably be able to give it a recommendation. Because if it's refined the approach, then sure, it probably has addressed my concerns. But this one obviously hadn't, because it was the first swing at it. I'd probably give it like a 4 out of 10 if I had to, you know, put something down for it.
Okay.
Yeah, how about you?
I think that's fair. I think you hit the nail on the head with it. It seems like a first swing at it. I have played a later installment, and I would recommend it. I think 4, 5, and 6 are all good. I've not played 2 and 3. I think the difference on 4, 5, and 6 is they are genuinely scary, and the scares seem much more genuine than something flying at the screen and showing bloogie woogie woo. So I wouldn't recommend this one. As I said, I put it in the running order and we all played it by accident. It's a short game if you can complete it. It's a short game if you want to do one or two runs. How big would you guess this game is, Tim, on your hard drive?
It's going to be like 600 meg.
It's a gig.
Oh.
So it's not massive, but it's not small.
No, not for what it is anyway.
Absolutely not for what it is. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
For the concept, for the later editions of the game, building off of that pretty strong concept. But a poor execution means that I didn't enjoy it very much.
Okay. Well, that gives us an average of 4.5.
Well done, Observation Duty. You have just over the amount of score that you have words in your title.
You are somehow scoring higher than Halo Combat Evolved.
Good job. Good job. Good. Right, Tim, what are we doing in 2 weeks' time?
We are doing, in 2 weeks' time, a cool little indie game that I found called Hypnospace Outlaw.
Yay.
Yeah.
Anything going to happen in between now and then?
In between now and then, Slade's going to have to write up a full report for this. I wanted to keep like a daily journal of his task for this. Slade is going to go out into the desert, and he's going to find the cactus with the most spines on it.
Okay. Nice.
I want a roll report of that when he gets back.
I always used to like the joke about someone's family tree being like a cactus. It's one straight line and full of pricks.
Hey, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Well, we'll see you in the post-amble.
See you in the post-amble.
Thanks for a short one, Tim.
Bye.
That's what Payne says. Bye.
Brilliant.
Got to end down a small Willy joke.
I was reading a thread on Reddit the other day about what celebrities do you think are probably in bed?
That's a great question. James Corden.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to obviously name the names.
What, like I just did?
Yeah. But someone said that, we just bought the descriptions that made me laugh. Someone said that that a TV host in the States, won't name who, would probably...
Can you give me a bit more and I'll name them?
Sorry?
Can you give me a bit more about them and I'll name them?
Arguably one of the most famous TV hosts of all time.
Jimmy Fallon?
No, female.
Ellen?
No.
Well, come on, I need more than that.
Known for the You Get a Car and You Get a Car thing.
Oprah.
Yeah. Post that I saw for that was, she probably lies there like a sloth in heat. I saw one that was, what was it? Taylor Swift getting clapped probably sounds like a laptop closing. Which is f***ing great. That one got me.
That is so funny. I once saw Frankie Boyle live, and he said, he was talking about David and Victoria Beckham, and he said, David Beckham trying to have sex with Victoria Beckham would be like trying to f*** a deck chair.
I'm not a big Frankie Boyle fan. He's just a bit of a shock jockey to me.
Oh, but... No, I mean, I was working. I was paid to see him. And there was quite a number of jokes in there that I was amazed that he said out loud.
Yeah.
But that is just shticking it.
Yeah. I can't remember what the rest of the stuff was on that thread, but there were some very, very funny responses.
Mm. Good. Anything else, Tim?
No.
Well, quick one. Nice short edit for Joey. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
See you in 2 weeks.
Tim, anything you want to say to the audience?
Take that, you bastards.
Two blokes from Blighty Light. Take that, you bastards. See you next time. Shall I put the two blokes outro on this one?
Yeah, really throw them off.
All right, cool. Dun, 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 dun.
That was... No, that's not two blokes. That was the old intro. That was our one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, dun, bum, dun, bum. Dun. I think I've said it before about the two blokes outro. I really like that it's almost like you're ambling home afterwards.
Yeah, well, I made both of them, didn't I? And I sent them both to you. And I said, I really like this one because it sounds a bit miserable. And you said, well, maybe we can speed it up for the start. So that was all you.
Yeah, I just like the fact that it's like, it gives the feeling of the intro is you're going to the pub, the podcast is you're at the pub, and the outro is you're leaving the pub.
Well, the outro is literally 20% slower.
That's it.
Than the first one, the original, and that is...
As am I, leaving the pub.
Only 20?
Only 20.
46% slow is what I heard.
I can sprint when I'm pissed.
Well, I'm going to leave it there before I say something I regret. I'll see you later. Bye. Love you. Mwah, 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 mwah.